Welcome to another Rick and Rob Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
And I'm Rick Drewer.
There's quite a lot of sports to talk about in regards to the end of the cricket and baseball season and the start of the footy season coming up. Let's start off with the Sheffield Shield, where South Australia fouled again.
Well, they did fail again, and unfortunately, it's one of those things where it's designed to fail again, because the side that finishes top hosts the final, and it's a five-day game, and they don't have to win it, and that's the advantage for having finished top, and so they produce a benign wicket where it virtually is impossible for the side that finished second to take 20 wickets, which they have to do if they're going to win the game, no matter how many runs are made by both sides.
Unless it's South Australia, like last season we hosted the grand final at Glenelg and we lost.
Well, that's very true, Robert. It's unfortunate you've brought that up. It's very hard to achieve what South Australia did last year and lose a Sheffield Shield final. But then again, I guess if you go into a five-day game without a recognised spin bowler as we did at Glenelg Oval last year, then the result probably was somewhat predictable.
You know, and there's an omen in cricket. Everyone talks about the unlucky number 13, but in cricket, the 87 is where a lot of batters fall short of their century, et cetera, et cetera. But I noticed in the Sheffield Shield final, Victoria scored 487 and South Australia scored 287 in reply. So the writing was already on the wall.
Well, it's amazing you've thought about that. I love cricket apart from the fact that it's just a wonderful sport for the superstitions and so forth that go on. I was the very opposite. I actually always hoped that I'd get on to number 13 as when I was batting, because I thought that would bring me luck. But you're right. The English go for 111, I think it is. Steve Waugh used to wear a red handkerchief in his pocket and so forth and so on. We could go on forever about the superstitions involved in cricket.
At the end of the day, Victoria took a 200-run lead into the second inning, scored 332 at not even pace. They were really just sort of blocking the ball out. And then South Australia was 6 for 236 in reply. So it was a drawn game, and the title was retained by Victoria.
Surprise, surprise. It was always going to be like that. And it's interesting that there's a number of people in the cricket world, including myself, who've been calling upon the removal of the Sheffield Shield final because it really is basically a waste of time. Because of the timing now with the T20 and one-day cricket sneaking into basically the latter part of December and the whole of January, not only is the Shield season split into two definite halves, but the final is forced further into the year, and winter sports have already started. The final gets lost in amongst that, and the fact is that it's basically a non-event because of the rules of the game. And why they need to have it, I don't know. For many years, it's only been in the last 30-odd years that there has been a final. Up until then, it's like English soccer. Whoever finished top won the Shield. And the fact is that in the 30-odd games that have been played, only 17%, including South Australia's effort last year, has the visiting side won. So at that strike rate, it's a predictable, inevitable result. So we might as well go back to the leading team wins the Shield, I reckon.
I tend to sort of disagree a little bit, because I remember 95-96 when South Australia hosted the Sheffield Shield final at Adelaide Oval, and it ended up being one of those tight games which happened to be our last title. So I have some fond memories of that. I saw a little bit of last year's Sheffield Shield final at Glenelg. There is something special about it, I suppose, a little bit like the grand final of the AFL at the MCG. So, but like you said, though, it's hard to fit in to such a busy cricketing program.
Well, you're right. And I was actually at that last Shield final that we won, but I think you've interpreted the result. It was incredibly exciting, but the only reason we won it is because, again, it finished in a draw, but South Australia had to basically bat the entire last hour at 9 wickets down, with obviously 10 and 11, and really, all things being equal, the visiting side, Western Australia, probably deserved to win that game. But again, it's so stacked towards the side that finishes first. But yeah, we can beg to differ over this one, I think.
I think one of the biggest complaints about cricket is the slow scoring, and I believe South Australia got about 3 or 4 runs in that last hour. And I remember at the time everyone was saying it's the most exciting slow cricket we've ever seen.
Well, it was, but of course we're South Australians sitting there wanting to get a draw out of it. You don't have to be scoring runs to have exciting cricket, but what I do think is that if you're going to have a game, then you've got to have an even contest, whereas there was no... The vested interest was just occupying the crease in a Sheffield Shield final, because really runs are insignificant. It's the time that you're there, not to allow the side that finished second to be able to get 20 wickets. That's what it's all about, I think.
Now, while we're talking about cricket at the second level, there's been a bit of controversy in the papers, and of course you've always been an opponent of the system of the board with SACCA. What's happening with that?
Well, what's happened really is the result of the Parliamentary Select Committee inquiry has been handed down, and it was put into place. We won't go into the whole story right now, but it was put into place because they wished to remove West Torrens from the Premier League or A-grade competition, and in fact they had made that decision, forced them and threatened not only to remove them, but if they weren't voluntarily going to be removed, they'd take away their finance and so forth and so on. Anyway, getting to the nuts and bolts of it, what happened was that in the end there was a Parliamentary Select Committee inquiry into it, and SACCA, predicting the result a little while ago, reversed their decision and said they could stay. The interesting thing is that the side that they wanted to get rid of has created history by not only winning the two-day Premier League premiership, but they won the 50-over one-day premiership and the T20. And they are the first side in the history of South Australian cricket to win all three forms of the game in one season, and yet the SACCA board wanted to get rid of them.
So what's a message? Stick it up your jumper, SACCA?
I think it probably is, and the Select Committee has found that there has been board stacking and a number of other things, and that they probably, with probably the most significant concept within the Select Committee report, is that they described them as conducting themselves with improper governance, which means that they believe that their conduct and behaviour has not been up to standard.
Ouch! Is that a slap in the face to SACCA?
I think it is. I think they're in a bit of a spin at the present time. And, I mean, we could go on forever, but I think, really, I don't think it's going to happen, but the most appropriate behaviour for the SACCA board would be for them, en masse, to resign and to have clear and open elections rather than what they've been doing, obviously, according to the Select Committee in the past, them being less than fair and open.
Well, good luck to the sport of cricket in South Australia. But let's look at the local scene. We've just had the Boston Light Grand Finals, and Angaston had a three-peat. They won the third in a row, and Tanunda won the Bees. A1 Reserve by betting Newey, which is quite a significant result for the Bosser teams, because none of the Gawler teams, even though South Gawler are up there, sort of made the finals. And then we... I believe you umpired one of the grand finals yourself, old fella.
Yes, I did. I did the A3s, and that was a very good game. And Freeling defeated Kapunda. Freeling, justice was done, although it was a very tight game. Freeling had actually gone through the season unbeaten, and it looked as though that Kapunda were going to get up after they were, I think, roughly about 4 for 9, and then a fellow by the name of Williams came in and made 102, and it looked as though it was almost going to be enough. But basically, Freeling did what you've got to do in a game of cricket, and that's occupy the crease, and got home with about 3 overs to spare. And given that they'd gone through unbeaten, I think it was a just result.
Okay, now, while you sort of were taking up your time sort of with the cricket, I went out and watched the baseball and softball in the Division 1 and A-grade sort of scenarios down there at West Beach. And in the baseball, West Torrens played Port Adelaide, and like the cricketing brothers, they won the flag. But, it was an exciting series. On the best of three grand final series, and on the Friday night, the game went to 11 innings. Before West Torrens won 3-2, and a guy called Ryan Muggleton got the RBI hit to win the game, which was his only hit of the game. in game two. Port Adelaide came back on the Saturday and won that game 10-9, again with their last at-bat, getting the winning hit from Brody Ariola. And it's interesting that Port were 5-0 up and 6-1 up, and West Tigers had an 8-run innings to hit the front, but Port fought back and eventually won it. And the interesting thing is, if Port had won on the Sunday, Brody Ariola would have been the third generation to play in a Port Adelaide premiership, because his dad played in 81 and his grandfather played in 1958. So that would have been a bit of a story. On the Sunday, it was a tight game. It was 4-4 going late into the game, and West Tigers last at bat in the bottom of the eighth. Ryan Muggleton got his second hit of the series with a home run to win the game 5-4. So he only had two hits for the whole three games, and they're both match winners, which was a pretty good effort. And the Caps medal was won by Dylan Brammer from Port Adelaide. In the softball, the A-grade softball, Sturt won their fourth flag in a row for the first time. They've won four in a row. And Monica Perry sort of was a pitcher of record. She won the game for the third year in a row. She's a US import. And on the Sunday, she won the medal as a best player in the league with 31 votes. She beat Chelsea Cohen by one vote, another American pitcher for Walkerville. And third place went to Morgan Lashley from Glenelg, who's the third US pitcher. So they obviously have raised the standard. And in local competition, in the A grade of the Bosser District Softball Association, Corlin District, Kangas won again, so from Angaston. So they've won it 12 years in a row.
12 in a row. Gee, that's some sort of a record, I would have thought. Amazing. Isn't it interesting how the overlap, I'm just trying to create it, that between the baseball of Port Adelaide and West Torrens, and which I didn't mention, but West Torrens, when in the Premier Cricket, they, as we've mentioned before about being threatened, they wanted them to be removed or amalgamate with Port Adelaide. And so you've got the common denominator of both Port Adelaide and West Torrens in both cricket and baseball.
And while we're talking about common denominators, Sturt won the softball, and you were a Sturt man in the SNFL, and Port Adelaide, we're just talking about the cricket and the baseball. Port Power in the AFL, I believe you kind of like that team.
Well, I do support the Port Power, but I'm not going to go into the incredible talent of the Port Adelaide Football Club, but what I will mention is that history, as it were, is in the making this week, and forget about the theme of the Port Adelaide Football Club, in that the showdown is on, and the most remarkable thing about the showdown is, I think it's the 42nd showdown, which really hasn't got a lot to do with it, but it is the first time that any showdown has been between the number one and number two ranked sides on the premiership table, both unbeaten. Sure, it's only after two rounds, but nevertheless, Port and Adelaide are, notice I said Port and Adelaide, are both at the top. And so it should be an amazing game of football come Saturday night. Unfortunately, I think there's some rain predicted, but it's history.
Now, you're talking off air to me in regards to a new rising star at Port Adelaide, who you kind of have tickled your fancy, his nickname.
Well, I did. The old Sultan is, well, old Sultan, he's 18, young Sultan. Sam Powell Pepper is a recruit from Western Australia that Port Adelaide picked up, and quite remarkably at pick number 18. And now everyone is shaking their heads that how 17 other choices could let him slip through before Port got him at number 18. He is 18, I think he's 93 kilos. He is a different look as far as his face goes, but he's just another Ollie Wines in complete strength. And it's unheard of that an 18-year-old can not only go straight into an AFL side, but be being played in the midfield. And he won the Rising Star Award in the first week, and if you could do it more than 1 week in a row, he would have won it last week as well. And I think he's a name, barring injury, who's going to be on the spot or be in the spotlight for many, many years to come. Looks to be an awesome player.
And of course, just finishing off with the local Bosser Light and Gawler football and netball starting on the 22nd of April. Freeling are hosting Kapunda in a local derby. Gawler Central are hosting Williston in another local derby. South Gawler are hosting Tanunda. And then on Anzac Day, New Ipta are hosting Angaston with Premier's boss of district having the bye. So we'll look further into the BNG football in a week or two when we get closer. This is the Rick and Rob Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
And I'm Rick Drewer.